would be a perfect time before we get into Hamburger Chat. Tell you about our friends at Kinda Chill Package. Another great event there last night. And they have these events where you come in and you get to sample. I'm trying to train myself. Mm-hmm. Fine spirits and wines and also craft beers. I'm just been a little craft beer centric on this. Mm-hmm. And because they have a huge selection of craft beers at Kinda Chill Package. They have a huge selection of wine and spirits, but self-serving, I'm paying attention to the craft beers.
Of course. I mean, yesterday was National Wine and Cheese Day, mm-hmm. right?
So, and I even slipped in craft beer during that.
You did, but you could celebrate National Wine and Cheese Day this weekend. There's no saying when you have to celebrate the best wine.
That's
in the
right.
Kinda Chill Package, they have all the best wines.
And maybe this works out because I like red wines. I'm not a fan of the white wines, too, mm-hmm. like sweet. But a red wine, I know this will probably make some sommelier gasp out there, but red wine with a hamburger can be pretty darn good.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as a craft beer with a hamburger, but it's a start. Listen, Kinda Chill Package, huge selection also of cigars. I got a humidor that's, it is bigger than my first apartment.
It's man. Huge.
I got a big humidor full of cigars, thousands of different cigars in there for you to check out. Also, huge selection of wines, of fine spirits, and craft beers as well. Hey, check them out over the weekend. Like Dalton said, you can celebrate Wine and Cheese Day whenever you want. They can't help you with the cheese, but they can help you with the wine. Stop in and see them at the corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest, and they're online, cottagehillpackage.com, and make sure to like them on Facebook. All right, I mentioned the hamburger thing because last hour we had this list of the folks over at Thrillist.com.
Mm-hmm. The thrill is real with the Thrillist.
Yes, and they gave us the list of the top 12 toppings for a hamburger,
mm-hmm.
okay? And it went cheese, onions, condiments, pickles, bacon, chilies, avocado, lettuce, chili, eggs, tomatoes, and mushrooms.
You know, I have a real problem with onions being number two on the list because I never order onions on my burger. And I know at least
you're a freak.
Half of the people out there have to ask for no onions when they get the burger, I'm sure.
Love the onions. But yeah, I don't agree with all the placement on that list. Nor does Mike. Mike said, what part of the country was that survey taken in? How did chilies beat out lettuce, tomato, bacon, mushrooms, and what have you? Don't get me wrong. I love chilies, but I would even eat them on a burger. But they're not going to outweigh 80% of the other things on that list. Yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like a weird... It's not weird that they're on the list, but they're, like you said, with the onion and stuff, their placement. Let's see here. Terry asked, no slaw burger. They did not put slaw in there.
Ooh, I don't. Interesting.
I had slaw on a burger. I like now putting on a barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty darn good. Andrew says... he's questioning the avocado part of it. I've never had it, but I like avocados and I like hamburgers. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like it could be good.
Yeah, I've had an avocado on there before, and it's just, sometimes too much because in the beef, you've already got a pretty good amount of fat, which,
right.
you know, it's not necessarily bad for you. But to add the avocado on there, show me somebody who can eat two burgers with avocados on both of them. It's impossible.
It'll be like
way too
much. One of those things where you'll get your picture on the wall wherever if you do. Talk to our buddy Roy at Butch Cassidy, see if we have a contest like that. Dan on the text line, when we first posted the list, said that list is hot garbage. He suggests this. Okay, here's his list. Number one, cheese.
Okay.
Number two, bacon.
Yes.
Number three, maters. Preach. Because the tomatoes were way down the list. I love some tomatoes.
Way too far down the list.
Number four, onions. Number five, fried egg. I've still got to do that. I've never had the fried egg on a burger. Number six, grilled onions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the you've caramelized them some, made them sweet and soft.
I also like crispy onions.
I like all onions. So remember, onions is number four on his list. Grilled onions is number six. So he's got both. And number seven, lettuce on there. He said a note. So an asterisk here and a note to his text at 343-0106. It says, condiments are not on the list because they are condiments and not toppings and are therefore in a whole separate category. Preach, Dan.
Well, if pickles are a topping and relish, I mean, relish is just pickles, right? In condiment form.
Yes.
So I would say that relish would be
considered
a topping.
Well, but didn't relish have a little different... I do not like relish. I don't relish.
Relish.
Relish. So I don't... It's... So I'm not not there completely with the... Okay.
I like the jalapenos on a burger.
Yeah, I like jalapenos. I've gotten so ridiculous. I like jalapenos on a... About any kind of piece of meat, jalapenos are great. David said any hamburger that doesn't have just cheese, mayonnaise, and if you're feeling fancy, grilled onions, mushrooms, is just too busy and you're trying to mask the horrible flavor of the meat. I think it brings it out. Our buddy Crypto Marine, who is quite a chef in his own right, said, let's see, bacon, lettuce, Munster cheese, tomato, grilled mushrooms, and onion. All of these are counted as one topping when I make a hamburger. The meat is 75% beef, 25% lamb, but just me, not Sean. He and I have an ongoing thing because I don't eat lamb. And you know what that story. You know what
I haven't eaten a lamb burger before.
Now he's cutting 25% in lamb with his 75% beef. Donald says, where are the potato chips? Should be on the side, not actually on the... people saying coleslaw. Coleslaw, I'm a fan of coleslaw. I don't know. Can it be on the list? Yes. Does it need to be in the top 10? I don't think so.
I'm not sure that it's popular enough to be in the top 10. But really, when it comes down to it, if the burger is seasoned properly and grilled properly, all you need is cheese, some crunchy lettuce, some crunchy fresh lettuce, and tomato. And
yes.
You're set.
Yeah, that's true.
And bacon.
Some crunchy fresh bacon harvested out of the field. Terry says, grill your onions in Coke.
Like
double caramelized.
Never heard of that.
And Dalton, to your relish pickle question, Dan says, well, are tomatoes ketchup?
Ooh, all right. Point Dan.
Okay, our buddy Philip, who is, I would say, has recently lost his mind, but that's not true. He lost it a long time ago. Philip texts in, I guess this is coming from that commercial with the kid with the hot dog that I've actually, here's a commercial I've seen. Most people, because I watch so little TV, people say, hey, you watched the commercial? And I'm like, no. I've seen the kid that puts the peanut butter on the hot dog. She said she learned it on the internet. maybe I saw that online. But Philip says peanut butter on a burger is fire.
Interesting. I'll have to give you that a shot.
I already knew you were a weird dude, Philip. But Alex says ketchup is tomatoes in condiment form. Yes. Thank you, Dan. And coleslaw goes on pulled pork, not on a burger. Now, I love... Oh, yes. Now, you get some barbecue. I'll roll up with some coleslaw on the barbecue. That's good. It doesn't always have to... I'll like it either way. I won't kick it out of bed for eating crackers, but I'll jump on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm way too hungry for it to be 7:45 in the morning, but it's Friday. Who cares? I might go get a burger right after the morning show.
Okay, we got to get to Walter here quickly because this is the kind of stuff I'm interested in. Relish is a spread, Walter? I mean, how do we define relish?
Okay, relish is to a pickle like cabbage is to coleslaw.
Okay.
Or tomatoes are to salsa. So a pickle is actually a condiment, but when you mix it with other ingredients in a relish, it's more of a spread.
So would a spread be a topping?
It would be, no. The pickle would be the topping.
Okay, so therefore, in pickle...
would be a condiment.
So the second you go below the circular waffle cut pickle thing, then at that point, anything smaller than that is not a topping, but that is a condiment or a spread.
It is a condiment, absolutely.
So I mean, that should be lumped in with condiments, which are like Dan said earlier. I think a whole separate category.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I mean, so, you got a ketchup, mustard, and relish on a dog. Right?
You're right. You're right because they say it that way. They put that in the other category.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Hey, people have spoken.
There we go. Walter, appreciate your call. And still more text coming in on this. We may not get this all figured out here by the end of the year, but we'll try.
Here's a new entrant. Donald says he loves black beans and barbecue on a burger.
Yeah, I mean, these are things, okay, there's all kind of things I can come up with that you could put on the burger that would be cool, and I like, but it's saying the top 12 toppings, and we've now already said that condiments. You know, we got to make sure the condiments aren't in the toppings, and condiments are not the same, right?
Right.
So it's not that black. You know, black beans sound really good on about anything, but are they? Do they need to be in the top 12?
Are they popular enough? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, something's good. Now that sounds good, but is it enough to be in the top 12? I don't know. All right, we'll work through these tough issues throughout the hour. Also, when we come back, talk more about what's next with the Civic Center, as a lot happened with that story yesterday, and Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson called into Midday Mobile. We'll get some of that audio coming up, and the federal death penalty back reinstated, according to AG Barr. That and a whole lot more on the way. Y'all stay close. Jim. Jim on the text line. Who says you can't learn valuable life info on FM Talk 106.5? Thank you, Jim. That's what we're here to do. I will probably put in some news talk a little bit, but right now, hamburger talk.
Yeah, we're like Guy Fieri this morning, taking everybody to Flavortown.
Well, I'm waiting for our buddy Stu or Mike to call, Sip or Chew, to call in and chime in on this, you know, for a wine pairing or how to make that burger. Of course, you can check them out on Sunday mornings here at FM Talk 106.5. If this kind of conversation makes you hungry, by the time I listen to those boys on Sunday morning, I'm like, I fixed like a second breakfast at the house. Ridiculous. John says, as far as the burger, cook extra bacon and crumble it in the hamburger meat and cook the burgers that way.
Getting fancy.
Okay, John. I like that. I'll be there probably Saturday afternoon. Dan, I was with you, and then he said, I can't believe nobody has brought up the donut bun.
I've never had one of those.
I've not either. I don't know that I... Will pointing out that the slaw is Callahan's puts that on their LA burger. Man, that's, you know, great hamburger. JT, what's up, man? Buddy Kevin here says Rochelle's. I have not been to Rochelle's a long time. Rochelle's once put a soft shell crab on my steer burger.
Oh,
and that was awesome.
Man.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you get it. Like, I usually get a spider sandwich by itself, but if you had a hamburger, you had beef, and then you had, talking about surf and turf in one bite.
Yeah, seriously, that sounds awesome.
Man, this is killing me. Oh, good. Thank you, Ben. Ben said, lamb is nasty. Fight me. I don't know that it's nasty. I didn't like it as a kid, and I'll just do a quick thing. So my grandfather, as he got older, had fewer beef cattle and started raising some sheep and raising some lambs. When it's time to take lambs to their end, or you have the freezer truck show up at the place to do it. I was real young when I did that, and I just... Now, old sheep, I put down old sheep, but the lambs, it was...
Stuck with you?
Yeah, it stuck.
Yeah.
It's stuck with me.
You know, I think this calls for... I think we need a competition, like a listener burger cooking competition.
Like a burger off?
A burger off. So many great suggestions from the text line. A lot of you have put a lot of thought into making your burgers over the years. I think this calls for a competition. Find the best one ever.
And then we would eat the hamburgers.
That's really what I'm going for.
Yeah, self-serving. I like that. I like that a lot. All right. Yesterday, about this time, a little bit later in the hour, Rob Holbert was on with us from Lanyap, and he was talking about a story that the story has been going on a while, but a new part of that dropped in yesterday with Sterling, one of the two companies that had bids in to do this makeover remodel of the Civic Center property, dropping out. Mm-hmm. Sterling drops out. Got a lot of people talking now, just one suitor, the Cordish company. And the discussion was, at least at that point, from the morning show through the midday show, does this mean they're going to go with this plan as presented by Cordish? Well, we were talking about it yesterday on the midday show when we got a call from Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson. He called us to talk more about that, and we'll get to that audio coming up in just a little bit. I'm going to tell you what, I'll play you the short version of what he had to say here. As yesterday, we were just trying to figure out, what does this mean? In other words, if there's only one suitor, what does this mean? Are they going to go with the plan as designed? And basically what we found out is that plan, that Cordish company plan, is not something that is finalized. That is something that is just at least according to the mayor, that's something just as a starter here in this conversation. Okay, so that, and he did say that it would move up the process here to start, instead of it being, because I think they were going to go through, if I'm right, they were going to go through September and then make their choice on who was going to be the winning plan. Mm-hmm. In this case, they can move up already because there's only one suitor with Cordish. So here is Mayor Stimson yesterday, a little bit from his conversation with us during Midday Mobile.
The process we've been going through was to down select a developer. Unfortunately, Sterling made the decision to withdraw. So now we have a single developer. This process was to really choose one developer. And once that developer has been chosen, that is the beginning point of ultimately what will be built. And for instance, let's say Cordish made a proposal, but they have not met with the Mardi Gras organizations. They haven't, let's say, sharpened their pencil. They haven't done all the due diligence, because they were not going to do that unless they were the winner of the competition. Same thing would have been true with Sterling. So over the next few months, they will meet with various people, they will run economic models, and they will determine what they think they can afford to build and what the city of Mobile needs going forward. So there is nothing cast in concrete at this point other than we have a single developer to start the process with.
Okay. And so this process would go through the development process, but then remember, this is akin to the Ladd Peoples question, because the mayor and the executive branch will, you know, work these deals out, and then it would be something that would have to be signed off on by the Mobile City Council. Mm-hmm. They're getting pulled different ways. You've got certain members of the council that are bothered by if there's going to be apartments or any kind of residential space there. Mm-hmm. Mardi Gras groups are worried about having a venue for balls, right? Having a place. And this Cordish, the initial Cordish plan did not have a roofed. It was an open-air concept. And listen, people had sent it on the text line, and I said the same thing yesterday. I said, man, February. It rains. We're the rainiest city in America. In February, we get some years we get beautiful Mardi Gras and it doesn't rain, but sometime over, we'd have to get Dr. Bill to give the actual stats, but sometime over, let's say, the 2 weeks leading into Fat Tuesday, on the weekend, you're going to get a rain. And they talked about, well, they could put tents up and do things. Here's the problem. There's a lot of things. We've been doing things a certain way for a long time. Not forever here with Mardi Gras, but my lifetime, from the 70s on through, it's you do it this way. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure through this process that, number one, I'm keeping an eye on, keeping Mardi Gras going, what it means for, and not just keeping it going, but keeping it going, with downtown. It has that the fact that the Mardi Gras groups spend the money to parade and do what they do is the catalyst for the entire thing that leads to $1.6 million in tax revenue for the city, leads to great revenue for the businesses downtown. So but that only happens because these private citizens and Mardi Gras groups, these mystic societies, put the money in to put on parades and have balls and do all these things. At the same time, maybe there is, I'm going to be open-minded enough to say maybe there is another way you have the balls downtown. I don't know it yet, but I will challenge Cordish or other people in this to impress us and say, okay, here's another way to look at it, because right now, because I don't do this for a living, I can just picture the way it's always been, mm-hmm, in my lifetime and say, well, that's the way it should be. Maybe there's another way to do it. What would you do? I mean, if you're the situation, you've got the Civic Center there, and you've got a couple, the Civic Center is not just Mardi Gras. Civic Center is putting shows in all the time. We said that yesterday with Rob. Just because the shows, you don't go to them, when people say there's nothing going on at the Civic Center, I guess I'm in a different world, because in media we get the emails for every event that happens. That there's stuff going on there every week.
Yeah.
It may not be an event you go to, but there's things going on there every week, which, by the way, we've got Chad Prather coming up there October 4th, is it?
That's Friday? Right, yeah, October 4th.
It's going to be a cool show. FM Talk 106.5 presents. Y'all go Google Chad Prather. If you don't know who I'm talking about, you're going to love this guy.
Yeah, it'll be interesting the next few months, maybe year, however long it takes to figure this out, because it's another one of those things here in Mobile where there are a lot of people to make happy and a lot of people
that's
that
a
want...
problem. There's different... Yeah, right, there's some... It's not just... choice A or choice B. There's at least six different cabals that have different ideas.
And we've seen in the past, whether it's Ladd Peoples or some other things that we've argued about in this city, it's tough sometimes to come to a decision that makes everybody happy. And hopefully we don't see the same kind of arguing that we saw with Ladd Peoples. We don't want a Ladd Peoples part two coming up here, but I wonder if maybe another company could come in from out of nowhere and bring in a proposal, or what we're looking at here. But with Sterling dropping out, that certainly limits our options for right now.
I would say this. How about this be the guiding light of it, is to make sure that in some kind of partnership here, the city isn't on the hook for another big debt service.
Mm.
Right? I mean, we're right now talking about Gulf Quest, but, we have Gulf Quest is on a list of things that the city is paying for. Can we do one more thing? Or is it better to let a private entity take the risk? I mean, but if doing that, it doesn't look exactly like it does now. And when I say look like it, not literally, but figuratively look like it, is that worth the risk? By the way, Texter says deer burger. In my house, there's no other kind, actually. There's no, we'll come to your house and eat a beef burger, but yeah, they're all venison burgers in our house.
It's 8:36 on a Friday. Congratulations, you made it. This is FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. And right now we head to McConnell Automotive, where we talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. We did make it, didn't we, buddy?
Finally, it's here. And also here, no better time than now to shop for trucks. Tell me, what kind of great deals are on the lot at McConnell Automotive?
Well, Dalton, I think people out there, there's got to be somebody listening that's making a payment for a truck that they don't love. You know, the truck is either something they didn't dream of, or maybe the payment kind of hurts their feelings. Well, 20% off is what we've got off the new Sierra, and I think a lot of people have seen the new tailgate commercial, but they may not have driven this truck. And we also have, on the hottest truck, I think, on the planet, kind of the competitor to the Ford Raptor, is the GMC AT4, the lifted truck with the red tow hooks and all the bad boy features, the four-wheel drive, you know, new Sierra, and that truck is supplier pricing. So I just really want people to put in their minds that if you've been in the market for a truck, or you think you are, now is a great time to act, because these discounts, we have not seen that since the new truck came out, Dalton. And you know, you and I always talk about how great our website is. Mm-hmm. It's so super easy, and it's McConnellAutomotive.com, and I'm hoping everybody has a great weekend. It'd be a wonderful weekend to come drive some trucks over here at the dealership.
That's right, and we hope you have a great weekend too, Mitch. Thanks for joining us.
Man, y'all have a great one, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive. You'll find him on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
All right, 837 FM Talk 106.5. Should I tell him about the truck picture? Like, this is why you go. This is why you go to a reputable, long-standing dealership. You know, you deal with the folks at McConnell, or my buddy Larry Kirby, mm-hmm. Dave McCrary over at LCM. Looking through the pictures that popped up on one of my feeds this morning, and I was showing Dalton, and this they got this truck advertised, like a work truck, and you get the pictures of the front, the side, you know, all the normal things, and then they show you the bed of the truck. If I'm lying, I'm dying here. Mm-hmm. It had a combination of some old pieces of firewood, a bunch of trash, and at least 8 or 9 beer cans.
Yeah, it has those little, you know, ropes. You'll just
already broke it in, man.
You'll keep things around with you because you're like, hey, I might use that somewhere down the road. So right. You got a truck that I'm sure has been used for years and years and years and has pieces of rope in the back and the empty cans. I mean,
and the beer cans are all through the back. Like, you'd figure maybe before you took the picture to sell it, and you might just go ahead and get the beer cans out of the back of it. That's just me. I'm just kind of into this marketing thing, but I'm new here, so I don't know.
And we've talked about it before. Some of these online places where you can shop, you know, for boats and things like that.
Right.
The most misspellings,
okay,
of anywhere.
You know what my favorite is?
What's that?
Trailer. Okay, so trailer is misspelled more on those online ads because I'm always looking at boat stuff. So trailer is misspelled, or I'm looking at, you know, utility trailers misspelled. The one that gets me more, though, is when they have a picture of the boat,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and the name of the boat, the make of the boat is on there. I mean, it's in the picture, and it, you know, the big size, it's a whatever, it's a Kenner, it's a C-Pro, it's a Robalo, it's a, you know, whatever, you fill it in.
Mm-hmm.
And they have the name of the boat misspelled in the post. I'm like, just refer, you know what? Refer to your picture, mm-hmm. and just type it out that way. And they get the name. That I used to collect like best Facebook, I mean, Craigslist posts ever.
Yes.
And so I'm going to go back to doing that because there are some rich stuff.
Yeah,
there.
Some real gems. They're awesome.
But when you have a picture of the item, whatever it is, for me it's always been boats, but the item, and it's sitting there in the picture, and then just below, there's some kind of cockamamie spelling of that. I'm like, just refer to your own picture. It's a clue. All right, to the phones and the text line at 343-0106, 343-0106. A couple more ideas here on the... Ben has said this, Benjamin said this a couple times, German-style beer garden with 20 or so small buildings big enough for the balls, beer garden in the center. You know, Mayor talked about that yesterday, that their idea, you could put, at least I think the people from Cordish said, you could have these, like St. Louis, they had these celebrations and they rented out the individual restaurants. You know, you're telling me the MOTs are going to put their ball in a little restaurant on Saturday night? Really?
I'm not seeing that happening.
I mean, it's just, it's not. I mean, that's not going to work, but that doesn't mean the whole idea won't work. There may be some plan out there that does work. All right, to the phones, and let's go to David first up. Hey, David.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Dalton. And an outdoor event space for Mardi Gras doesn't work either, because one year it could be 85 degrees out there in Mardi Gras. The next year it could be storming, and then the year after that it could be 20 degrees below zero, and then the next year it could be all of them.
Okay, wait. Have we made – let's check this, because I thought the record low was like 6 degrees below zero in Mobile. Let me check that while you talk.
I'm being hyperbolic.
Oh, okay. I didn't follow.
But and then lastly, you know, 1 year could be all of those combined. So, you know, you can't really have an outdoor space. You need a space that you can do a temperature control and environment control.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second. You get the big fancy tents, right? Those big vinyl heavy duty tents that takes the people and the mallets and putting the stuff to put up. You can run HVAC units on those things.
Sean, if you're the head of one of these Mardi Gras organizations that spends $300,000 to $500,000 a year doing your Mardi Gras activities, are you going to want to hold your ball in a tent?
I'm not answering that. I'm just answering whether you could climb it. Here's what's happening. Okay, there's going to be a split, and it's already happening. Certain Mardi Gras groups are taking it upon themselves to have, number one, their facilities closer to downtown. They move in dens and all those kind of things, and also spaces to have their receptions or their balls, even some of them moving towards float storage because, you know, where the floats are kept down towards the down off the side of I-10 off Virginia down there. Those times are changing as well. So And then there's groups that don't have the kind of money for that, and they're going to be dependent on having the civics. No matter what, they're going to be dependent on having a venue like that to rent. So, I mean, you may have a situation where some groups are going to parade and never actually need the Civic Center anymore, and there's going to be some that have to find somewhere else. And somebody asked about the convention center. I've asked that over time. I think one of the issues is that they'd be like double booking nights and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But if some of the groups, if some of the Mardi Gras groups end up moving to their own venues, maybe that prevents having a double book night issue.
True, but mark this day down that I predict that that no decision will be made about the Civic Center in this legislative term for this city council and this mayor. And the reason why is because according to the mayor's own timeline that he said he talked about yesterday on your midday show, 4 to 6 months. That's going to put any final decision right smack dab in the middle of Mardi Gras season in a municipal election year.
Yeah, well, he said yesterday, I said, this year, he said, no, nothing will change about Mardi Gras this year. Everything's going to be the same.
But yeah, I understand that. But what if, Cordish is the only group that did not have an event spinner in their conceptual design. So if they stay true to their live concept that they've done in other parts of the country, they're not going to have an event center. And it's just going to be a bunch of restaurants. Do you think that Mardi Gras, that's going to go over well with Mardi Gras and the downtown entertainment districts?
No, and we're going to see how this, I mean, this process is going to be very interesting. And I agree with you. It's going to be contentious because, as we were saying before the break, it's not just like a yes, it's not like the toll thing, which actually I don't know who other than people at Aldot are this is going to have like this group disagrees for this reason and another group disagree. If you can do this, then we'll agree, or you know, and maybe the one thing that would satisfy one group is not going to satisfy the other. But yes, it's going to be a Byzantine mess.
I predict that any decision on this project will be pushed back by the city council from February or March to after next year's elections, so that the next city council can make the decision and manage the implementation of their decision. And this council will not put that burden on the next council.
Okay, there it is. You're on record of saying that it'll be negative 20 at Mardi Gras. Is that not what he's?
I think he said. Mark this down. It's going to be negative 20 at this year's Mardi Gras.
Coldest morning and -1. It says -1 for Moby. I thought we got colder than that. 88 or so. I remember when the bay froze and we were so cold. Okay, well, whatever.
You know, we've been doing lists this morning. The best hamburger toppings. Uh-huh. If we had to list out the things that Mobile, the city, needs this property to become, whoever comes in to develop it, how would you rank the list? I mean, is the most important thing to have a place like the Civic Center where we can bring in acts and events to come in for people to go to? Does Mardi Gras top the list? What do we do about the balls at Mardi Gras? What about living spaces there? I know a lot of people don't want, or a few people don't want apartments or condos to come up in that area where the Civic Center is now. I'm just wondering if we as a city kind of had to rank the list one through whatever of what we want this next developer to do with that property, what would come up top?
Now, hop on the line, 343-0106. A great question. What would be your priority list? And one thing, too, about the shows coming through, we heard that one of the issues that keeps some shows from coming through is their rigging, their lighting and all that stuff, that the ceiling at the Civic Center can't hold the weight of these new systems. So that has to be an upgrade to get. Like, sometimes you don't get an act, not because they didn't want to come here, but like technically they couldn't run the act here.
Yeah, and it seems like more and more these worldwide tours,
screens, and big screens behind them, and all that.
I mean, they add more and more. There's some shows out now where they have, like, you know, take it back to the days where there's roller coasters as part of the act. You know, was it who was it that had the drum kit roller coaster? How am
no,
I spacing
it's Motley,
on this?
Motley Crue.
Thank you,
Motley Crue. But it was when it would spin around.
But you're seeing more and more acts now because these concerts are becoming such a even bigger deal, and as technology increases, they've got bigger sets than ever before. I mean, if you just go down to Hangout and watch some of these DJ sets, they've got so much going on the stage. The Civic Center can't hold that right now.
How Tommy Lee never threw up? I don't know how. All right, 8:47. Coming right back. I'll grab your calls, 343-0106. FM Talk 106.5. Hope your morning's Friday style. Hey, if forgotten because the schedule changed, the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament, that's usually the Saturday preceding the start of the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Thanks, Barry. Got rescheduled, and it's tomorrow. Rodeo site on the island. Take the kids out, do some fishing. And I do like the fact that if you don't have time today, I get it. Like, I'm a dad, you're trying to herd cats and all that. If you can't get all that stuff done today, you take the kids fishing tomorrow, buy your ticket at the rodeo site, and they give them lunch and they get an ice cream and the whole nine. And it's like a big deal when the kids get to walk up there and weigh a fish. They make a big deal about it. The JCs do. They do good work. So, y'all, if you have forgotten, it's going to be tomorrow.
That's a real memory maker, you know, getting the kids out there for that. And I'm so glad that they didn't cancel. Because,
they just postponed.
I'm glad they postponed it, because that can mean the world to kids that get to get out there and go fishing.
We weighed in a... he's old enough now that he'd probably be really embarrassed to hear. But so my oldest nephew, mm-hmm. Way back in the olden days, he went fishing. He and my brother-in-law, his dad, went fishing with me, and we caught a croaker. This category in the kids' tournament.
Yeah.
But he did, like, the idea of me putting the croaker on ice, I don't think he was crazy about it. I think I had it in the live well. So we took a Ziploc bag with water in it, like we're carrying a fish home from the pet store, and we walked up. This has been 13 years ago, 14 years, something like that ago, and walked up and weighed, and they knew the fish wasn't going to win, so they weighed it for him with the water in it. So we put the Ziploc bag with the croaker in it and the water up there, and the fish is kind of swimming around in there, and then we went, let it go.
That is great. That's awesome. See, memories, just like that.
Seriously, for sure. All right, to the phones we go at 343-0106, and Chris is in Mobile. Hey, Chris.
Hey. Good morning, Sean. I'm glad you took my call. Let me ask you a quick question, because I don't know the math, the numbers on the... How much are they spending? How much is the city of Mobile spending on the soccer fields going in West Mobile?
I don't know the city's spending anything. I got to double-check. That's a county expenditure. If the city has something in it, it's probably de minimis.
I didn't know if they were involved in that.
No,
but I'm sure there's city projects going on that probably... should have been on hold until we figured out the societies of Mardi Gras, where they're going to ball at, being that they are bringing revenue into the city like they do every year for the last, 60 years?
Yeah.
It just seems like that would be a main topic for the council and the mayor to get together and make this happen some way, some form. I know they got properties down there that they could probably tear down, that are just sitting there, that they could build something for the Mystic Societies.
The city has 300, what was the last count? Wasn't it like 300 properties?
And you mean to tell me they can't sell some of them properties?
Oh, they're trying.
And put that money towards a building that the Mardi Gras people can rent? I don't know how this works. Do they rent that space every year from the city?
No, so the Mardi Gras organizations rent it from the Civic Center. Yeah,
that's right. Oh, okay, yeah. So the city don't get the money off of the rent or whatever from the occupants. But it just seems like to me that the city would be more focused and make that their main number one priority right now, being that they couldn't get their ducks in a row to go for the football stadium. So maybe they could do something right for a change. Y'all have a great day, Sean.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Thanks for the call. What I mean, and back to what Dalton was asking before we went to the break. Priority-wise, I think that's it. I mean, that's the way you look at things in business or whatever. What's top priority? It's like you have a triage list, right? And to me, it's, you know, my default is immediately going to be Mardi Gras, but I need to step back and say maybe something that maybe it's more important to have something. I want it to do both. Of course, I want it, like everybody wants it to be a Swiss Army knife.
Right.
Right. Do everything. My default is that the economic impact, like we're talking about with Chris, the economic impact of Mardi Gras is so big and what it means for the city that that may be number one. But a close second are all the different things that go on year round. To have a venue, it is part of a quality of life issue. It's just like I've pointed out, you know, all the things that have been done in the city with improving our parks. There's no return. The return on investment for having great city parks and things like that and having them fixed up in ball fields, there's not a direct, I mean, you can't say it equals this many dollars, but it makes it good to live in the city.
Right.
You know, when I'm the son's playing soccer, you know, out at Sage Park, it's a quality of life issue.
Yeah, it makes for happier citizens, but also if somebody's interested in moving down this way, if they see that there's a really nice park next to somewhere they might move, that could be a difference maker too.
Yeah, and we live not far from Lavretta Park, okay? We go there. We use it. I like it. But there's no, like, you can't have the city go, well, that Lavretta Park returns X number of dollars, you know. So the Civic Center is in a tough position. Is that a quality of life issue? Is it a thing that you need to break? I mean, if you could break even on it, it doesn't have to make money, I would argue. If you could have something break even. But in this case, what if you give the private entity takes the risk and not the city? And you say, okay, well, Mardi Gras is number one or these shows are number two, but what if the private entity that can take the risk away from the city says, well, actually, it's these shows number one, Mardi Gras number three. Do we agree to that? And that's the process we're going to get ready to go through. Shane is in Mobile up next. Hey, Shane. Shane? All right. Lost Shane.
Oh,
I don't know what happened. It's the Friday's the phone. taking their time off.
I think the priorities for everybody might be a little bit different. You got, if you have a young mother who likes taking their kids to Disney on Ice every year but never goes to Mardi Gras balls, that would have a higher importance.
Exactly. It depends on who you ask.
Somebody else who goes to all the Mardi Gras balls that they can go to, that takes the higher priority. So they've got a lot of people to make happy with this.
All right. We will talk about this more coming up on the Midday Show, which starts in just 3 hours. All right. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. See you then.